It's called Winnipeg Forger, and it comes off of the CD called 3 Pounds of Rage. It's the most recent one from the Baltimore-based American Rogues, who will be among the many performers at Ehrenfest Peoria, which is opening tomorrow in Peoria on the riverfront. Lots and lots of bands, Irish, Scottish, Celtic generally, and there's lots of other things going on there as well. And on this portion of Live and Local, which is your connection to local performances, I'm pleased to welcome the lead singer of the American Rogues. He also plays all kinds of other instruments in the band. His name, Nelson Stewart. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. It's great to be here, as it were.
Well, you pointed out in an email to me that your group is called The American Rogues, because there's lots of other bands called The Rogues, and I realized at one point that I was, in fact, reading up on the wrong band.
they're actually, I think there's at least one band in England, two in Canada, and at least one other one in the States. And, of course, probably a bunch we don't even know about. And then, of course, there's also there's a band called The Irish Rogues, you name it, everybody's. So we wanted to make sure that we were completely different than everybody else. Plus, we're big supporters of the troops. You know, we do like USO type of tours and things like that all over and do fundraisers. So we thought The American worked well for us.
Yeah, well, I think the one that I was looking at was one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that when I didn't see your name on the membership list that there might be a problem with that. So in any event, so you're in Canada.
Well, my wife is American. She's actually from Annapolis, so that's what the Baltimore connection is. So we're in Canada part-time, and we're down near Baltimore part-time. We travel back, and then a lot of time we're on the road in between. So we're kind of all over. And then the band, we have our fiddle players in New Hampshire. We have drummers in Virginia. We have a bass player in Baltimore. We have some other guys in Canada. We have a piper in Houston. So, yeah, we're spread out for sure.
Yeah, well, so how often then do you pull the band together?
Well, we've had a really busy year. So, actually, we've been playing off every weekend. And when we did the tours, like, we flew to Japan and Guam for 10 days. And then we Italy and Spain the tour for a week as well. So we often get together just before or after tours to rehearse and go over new stuff and things like that.
You said that you wanted to make sure that you were different from the other Rogues. What was your way of going about that?
I know one of the Rogues was a classic rock band from Canada. I think they were back in the 60s or 70s, so that was a no-brainer. But, for us, I think from the band, you know, grew out of a traditional sound and, you know, kept adding new instruments. Originally, it was just pipes and drums when we were just called the Rogues. And as we evolved and added fiddle and mandolin and more percussion and keyboard and all kinds of things, we just kind of grew in that direction, as I say. And then being big supporters of the troops, it just made sense for us just to be, you know, the American Rogues because, you know, we are very patriotic.
What is it about the Rogues as a name that seems to be popular? I think especially among Celtic type bands, because I've certainly heard it in that way. Are you all particularly roguish in some way?
I think that's probably, you know, I guess it's better than me calling yourself the Pixies or something like that. Although the Pixies themselves are actually a really cool band, but something, you know, I think it inspires ideas of you know, bad boy image and things like that, and having the whole idea of being roguish, as you say. So let's face it, a lot of Celtic bands are playing pubs and things like that, so I think that's probably the connection there, too.
But you and some of the other musicians have a lot of different types of music in your background. I note that you actually sort of concurrently play in a Celtic punk band, but you have that and rock and blues and jazz, even classical music in your background. Describe that for yourself. How did you come up musically and then come to experience all these different types of music?
It's funny. I did an interview recently with Celtic Life magazine when we did the Royal Nova Scotia tattoo, and that's one of the questions they asked me. When I was little, my nana was from Paisley, Scotland, and but strangely enough, she really didn't get me into Celtic music. She's the one that got me into Lawrence Welk. We used to sit on her sofa and watch Lawrence Welk, and that's probably when I started liking the accordion, which is my first instrument. Her husband was Irish from Donegal, and he had Irish kitchen parties and things like that, but he died before I was born. So I always kind of say the inspiration was there, but I never actually got to meet him. And And then my mom and I would watch Soul Train and Hee Haw and, you know, a lot of the variety shows that were on in the 70s. Just growing up in the 70s, you know, array of music in front of me. The Beatles, of course, my parents were still listening to that. And my dad loved Jim Reeves and Johnny Horton and, you know, American folk singers and things like that. So it was coming from all directions. And then when I was 8 and they got me the accordion, I played that until I got into high school. And then, you know, I kind of found out it wasn't the coolest instrument. I still love playing it. But that's when I picked up piano. And I also picked up clarinet when I was in grade 8. And then I wanted to join a jazz band in high school. So I taught myself saxophone. That's where the jazz came in. I picked up drum kit along the way. And later on, when I was writing songs, I wanted to write on more than just the piano to get a different feel for it. So I taught myself guitar. And then when I was forming a trio, we needed a bass player, so that's when I picked up the bass. And I'm also a school teacher up in Canada, and so I'm still doing a lot of big band and things like that with my students to kind of, you know, and we do classic rock and things. So, yeah, I'm still involved in all those different genre music.
And then you added some other sorts of things like the dumbek and the djembe.
Oh, yeah. That was when I first joined the Rogues. Our drummer is really into all kinds of different percussion. So, you know, it was interesting just to kind of have bagpipes and then, you know, throw a dumbek in as opposed to born or snare drum, something that people would expect with bagpipes. And in a lot of cases, because, you know, the bagpipes definitely have that often Eastern sort of feel to them, especially when you're playing Breton music, you know, from Brittany, France, adding a djembe or dumbek definitely gives it a Middle Eastern feel, which is, I guess I should send you that album, another album we did called Rogue Trip, which has a tune called Andro on it, and it definitely sounds like it's off the soundtrack for Lawrence of Arabia or something like that.
Well, I know what a djembe is, and I'm trying to picture what a dumbek is. Can you describe that at all?
I would say basically it's a smaller version of a djembe. It's a smaller, often ceramic hand drum. A lot of guys, you know, you hold them between your knees, or you put a strap on them and wear it over around your shoulder. But it's only a couple feet long. And they have a much higher pitch than a djembe. There's a real kind of a thwack sound on it when you hit it.
Right. And where does that one come from originally? Is that a Middle East? Middle East?
I would say probably Middle East, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the belly dance groups and things that we see while on tour also use those. So I'm guessing that's where it came from.
Does your band ever play with belly dance troops?
Yeah, whenever we can.
Is that true?
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, if we're playing a Ren Faire, we'll have belly dance. I often joke on stage, you know, this is a tune, we'll do one of the Breton tunes, again, that has a Middle Eastern feel to it. And I'll say, you know, this is a tune where we either have real belly dancers or we'll get drunk guys who think they're belly dancers up and join us. So it's usually the former more than the latter, which is good.
Well, I want to play a tune off of 3 Pounds of Rage here, which is what all of our music's going to come from. Today, I'm sort of having a little trouble deciding because there's such a lot of great music here, but there's one that has the wonderful title of Panda, the Other White Meat, which I'm curious about on its own, but it seems to have kind of all the traditional stuff, and perhaps then some. I definitely hear a Bowron in there, the pipes, of course, fiddle shows up, the Scottish drums, which is a sound I just love. Yeah. Why that name, I have to ask?
Well, it was called Panda. A lot of times our pipers or our fiddle player will bring in jigs or reels or something, and I mean, a lot of times they don't even know where the names came from. Gordon Duncan was a great piper, and he wrote a lot of pipe music, and he wrote one called Andy Renwick's Ferret and things like that. Who knows where he came up with that stuff? So Panda they brought in, and I just, for some reason, thought it was funny, Panda, the Other White Meat. So I threw the Other White Meat in there, and it always gets a chuckle out of the crowd. So.
Yeah, well, it got a chuckle out of me, so. Not particularly funny music, but it is certainly fun. It's the band The American Rogues. They're going to be at Ehrenfest Peoria this weekend for 2 performances. Friday night, they'll be at O'Neill's Irish Pub at 7:15, and then on Saturday, they'll be on the North Stage for a show, The Late Show, at 10 o'clock. And you're listening to Live and Local. That's called Panda, The Other White Meat, from the American Rogues off of their most recent CD, which is now 3 years old, I guess. 3 pounds of rage, huh?
I'm laughing. Yeah, you're right. We got to get to work.
Yeah, time to do another one.
Yeah, we were trying to get going in the summer. We ended up doing some session work with a singer-songwriter named RJ and from California, and he found us online and wanted. I call him basically a Billy Joel kind of guy. Great singer, plays piano, and he wanted some Celtic instruments, and contacted us for one tune, and it ended up working out. Or one song worked so well, he ended up doing an EP with us. So we got sidetracked doing that this year, and it was a great sidetrack. But he's really, really a talented guy. RJ Sharp, his name is.
And my guest on Live and Local is Nelson Stewart, who's the lead vocalist with the band. You mentioned you actually threw in the term film music earlier, and in fact, you have done some of this, and you've done some. You've shown up with different actors in one place or another, like Christopher Walken, Val Kilmer with the film The Irishman, and then says here, you have to describe what this means, appeared on the red carpet with Robert Duvall, the premiere of his film, A Shot at Glory. How'd you get involved in film?
I wish we'd been part of the soundtrack of A Shot at Glory. One of our old papers, actually, that was in Virginia. He somehow knew the people at the theater, I think, or somebody in Virginia when Robert Duvall was coming in. So he plays a Scottish soccer coach. So that was the connection there. We piped him out of his car, and we were talking to him inside and hanging out. He's a really nice guy. But Kill the Irishman, they found us online. I guess, again, they just kind of did a Google search, and I'm not sure if they were specifically looking for the tune, Bonnie Portmore, or if they found us and just kind of went through our music, and they never told us that. But they sent us, a request, and we signed a contract, and they paid us money, and they used it in the film. It was the last scene of the film. It was really cool.
So they pretty much just, they took it off of the record. You didn't do a live thing? Record especially for?
No. What they did actually in the movie, though, was they must have looped it or something, because it's actually longer in the film than it is on the album. So that was fine with us. We were quite happy, and our names are in the credits. So.
Well, sure. One can do that electronically.
That's right.
So it hasn't resulted yet in your appearing on in somebody else's soundtrack.
No, that'd be cool. Yeah, I heard we're doing the movie Highlander, and I was hoping to get us in there, because I think it'd be cool if we could appear, if they do the scenes from the past where we're kind of like this a Scottish Army kind of band, walk along with our pipes and drums and banging on them, and have us appear in the present as a Celtic, rock band in a bar or something like that. But I never heard back. I sent that idea to them, but haven't gone anywhere yet.
Well, maybe it'll get legs at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
You said that the American Rogues have made a point of supporting the military. How did that come about? Because it's not every band that decides to do something like that.
It's funny. It was one of those things that wasn't really a conscious thought. It was. I grew up. My mom was in the Canadian Army, and I had two uncles in the Canadian Army, and my dad was a police officer. So I've grown up respecting and appreciating those who serve our community or service overseas and things like that. And then after I joined the band, I became close friends. One of my closest friends is a retired U.S. Army colonel. These are men I call brothers. One is a Vietnam vet. He was in the Navy. A couple were Army MPs. When you called, I was actually typing an email to I have three friends that are Navy SEAL captains as well. We've just been asked to perform at the SEAL Museum down in Fort Pierce, Florida. And, these are the men that I hold, very close to my heart. The sense of honor that they have, and the fact that they leave their families, because family is so important to me. They leave their families, they go overseas. Sometimes they don't see their families for years, and they lay their lives on the line. It just really rings home with me. And then one of my buddies was a Vietnam vet. He was injured. So several years ago, we decided to start having a fundraiser. He'd gone through all of his health insurance and everything. And so the first time, it was called Deekstock to honor him.
Deekstock.
Deekstock, yeah, yeah. D-E-A-K stock. His name is Deek, and he's a great guy. And he's actually on the cover of our album, American Highlander. And so we raised money for him, and we decided just to keep doing it. So we kept doing Deekstocks. And then we got involved with Operation Ward 57, which is the amputee ward down at Walter Reed National Medical Center. And we've just stuck with them. They asked us, we try to sell their blankets and their shirts and tell people to go to their website. We've actually gone onto the ward and played for some of the guys. And that's been a great experience for us too, because again, you know, playing for a 19-year-old Marine who's lost three of his limbs, it's pretty powerful. It keeps you focused and reminds you. And I every show I talk about the troops. I think it's really important to keep reminding people. And my buddy that I mentioned is the Army Colonel. He said, you know, the more I talk, the more I become the voice of a lot of the people who are forgotten. You know, these guys have lost their limbs and things, and I try to remind people that they're still out there and they're still coming home. So it's important for sure.
Well, this next tune is not particularly patriotic, I don't think, at least as I'm listening to it, but maybe you can tell me if there was an inspiration for it. This is called The Gale. I think you told me that it seems to be particularly popular at your shows, I guess.
Yeah.
It's got this sort of ominous synthesized opening to it, and then, you know, you add the drums, you add the pipes, things pick up at the end. Was there a concept behind that inspired that name?
Well, that's actually the original tune was written by a man named Dougie McLean from Scotland, and I believe that's what he called it, was The Gale. He wrote the main tune of it, and then our pipers, Doug and Lyric, there that was mentioned earlier, one's up in Canada, one's down in Houston, they're both great pipers, world champions. You know, they have their own programs going, and one is the pipe major of the 78 Frasers. They took all the different themes from the film, The Last Mohicans, and put it together, but that's, as far as I know, that's the name of the original tune, The Gale. That's what Dougie McLean called it. And as I say, the different parts that come in and out, the main themes, but that was Doug and Lyric that put all that together.
So that sort of raises the question, just before we play this, how much of what you do is taken from elsewhere, and how much of what you do are original compositions?
I would say 3 Pounds of Rage was definitely, that was our ninth album. That was the one that's reflective the most, has a lot of the original stuff on it. And a lot of the, because I come more from a rock background or a folk background, I tend to write songs as opposed to tunes. You know, I'm writing lyrics and things like that. So the songs you hear on the album are mine, and then our pipers, you know, our fiddle player, they're the ones that are writing the tunes. We also just added adding another new piper. The problem is our pipers all compete in Scotland, in the Worlds every year. And so it's hard to get them to shows and things like that. So we've added more fiddle players and more pipers. And sometimes we perform with two fiddle players. But one of the new pipers we're adding is he's written music for Wolfstone. He's performed with Gordon Duncan. He's a real pipe tune writer. So we're looking forward to bringing him into the fold as well, so we can add to the original repertoire.
Well, let's give it a listen. It's called The Gale. That's G-A-E-L, not G-A-L-E, from 3 Pounds of Rage by the American Rogues, based in Baltimore. They're coming to Peoria to perform twice, on Friday and Saturday at Erinfest Peoria, the annual Irish festival there. And you're hearing them on Live and Local. My guest is Nelson Stewart, who plays, lots of things in the band. That's called The Gale by the American Rogues from their 2010 CD called 3 Pounds of Rage, which won you a lot of awards, or at least a lot of praise.
Yeah, we had some really great reviews, Kaylee Magazine down in Texas, and we won Album of the Year with that at the Renfest Awards. And it's been our bestseller as well. We've been really happy with it. It's our most diverse album, so it was nice for us to kind of spread our wings and feel gratitude for that.
I note from your biographical information that for live gigs, the Rogues can appear with 3 to 8 musicians.
Yeah.
How many are you bringing to Peoria?
We're going to have 5 this weekend. When we did, but you probably saw in there too, we've done 2 shows with the U.S. Air Force Symphony in Washington at Constitution Hall. And the last time we did that, there were 7 of us. We had 2 pipers, 2 drummers, our fiddle player, myself, and our bass player. And then, of course, 60 world-class musicians behind us in the orchestra. And we did the Gale. So if you picture, if you like the Gale now, you can imagine we're going to be releasing Blu-ray copies of that soon. You're hearing the whole thing with the Air Force behind us. It was amazing.
That would
gave
be fantastic.
Chill.
Yeah. So what's going to be your instrumentation then for this one?
This weekend, we've got Catherine Hawk, who's an amazing percussionist. She was in a band called Coyote Run, and we were really lucky to have her. She totally rocks. She's coming up from Virginia. Our bass player, vocalist, drummer, Keith, is coming from Baltimore. And we have our fiddle player, Corey, who's from Canada originally. He's in New Hampshire now. He's coming in. And we also have our fiddle player, Steve Lesko, from Michigan. He's coming down. And then, of course, myself and my wife also joins us on stage. She sings in Gaelic and looks really good. So, yeah, with the Irish Fest, we're going with two fiddle players, and should be pretty cool.
So we'll be missing the Highland Pipers.
Right.
Is that because this is an Irish Fest, not a Scottish Fest?
Well, I would say we have a bunch of people on our roster, and you know, a lot of the guys are still in Scotland right now, and so that's why we have multiple fiddle players and multiple pipers, and so basically, it's a lot of cases. There's a core that travels all the time, and then we have a group that also they kind of rotate in and out. Let's say we have a couple of drummers in that, and a couple of pipers and the fiddle players, so we rotate in and out depending on who's available. It's because that way we're not turning down shows or anything, because we just don't have the people, so.
Well, it certainly makes for a wonderful sound and an eclectic sound, at least as represented on this album, and in fact, the different songs in here sound like they range from small and large to small to large ensemble. And then do you have some guest performers on the CD as well?
A couple, yeah. A buddy of mine named Mitch, he's actually an opera-trained singer. We brought him in to sing backing vocals on a couple tunes, and I'm trying to think. We brought a bass player in for one of the tunes. He used to be in the band. He couldn't travel anymore, so we brought him in. The new album, we've got one of our other fiddle players. He's going to be joining. He's a state champion on fiddle, banjo, mandolin, and guitar. So he's going to be adding some banjo and things like that to the next album. And we've had Gil Anderson, who was the original piper from Seven Nations. He's joined us on one of our albums. And yeah, I think it's really cool. I love doing that, bringing in our friends that we've met on the road and having them join us, and maybe adding a friend of mine who plays cello on the next album as well.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you a personal question. You mentioned earlier that you teach school in Canada, and I'm curious how your students take to the idea that you play in a Celtic punk band and also this one.
But it's actually pretty cool. It's worked out really well because I've actually been playing, for all the years I've been teaching almost in different bands. And so I kind of bring that with me to the classroom. I teach music and I teach English and history and geography. But when I'm teaching music, it's my experience on stage, I think, that makes me a little different than the average music teacher, because I can tell kids, you know, the pitfalls of booking shows. And I let them, you know, record in my studio to, you know, get their first album done for free and things like that. In fact, my studio engineer, I taught him when he was 12. I taught him to play trumpet. He was in my English class. And I kept in touch with him all through high school. I helped his band record and things. He went to Sheridan College in Canada for film and sound editing. And now he's engineered our last couple of albums. And he's actually joining us on stage now. He'll be touring with us on bass and drums and vocals as well. So he's 27 now, I think. And, yeah, we've been friends all the time. And yeah, I'm good friends with his parents as well. So it's funny how things kind of continued on like that, having had him when he was a little kid.
Well, it's a wonderful life mix, it seems. And
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said it's a wonderful life mix.
Of
life.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Yeah, I totally agree. Because when I'm away, I miss my kids. And then, you know, during the week, it's fun to look forward to something, you know, go off to Japan and play for the Navy or whatever. So, yeah, and my mom is with me everywhere. And, and often we'll take our grandson with us on the road, too. That's pretty cool. He was actually banging his drum in his kilt. He's not even two yet, but he's at a show the other night, standing in front of the audience playing, so it's pretty fun.
And he's got his own kilt, did you say?
Yep. He actually outgrew his first kilt already, so my wife made him another one.
All right. It's Nelson Stewart of the band The American Rogues, and they're going to be at O'Neill's Irish Pub in Peoria as part of Aaron Fesh Peoria this Friday, 7:15. That's tomorrow night. And then they're playing again on Saturday at the North Stage on the riverfront, 10 o'clock p.m., part of a three-day weekend that is the Irish Festival there that happens every year. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, Nelson. Oh, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
And this one sounds like a kind of a party song, and I know this one is not original because I've heard it various places before, but it's a lot of fun. It's called South Australia from 3 Pounds of Rage here on Live and Local. The American Rogues, South Australia, the name of that, and they'll be at Aaron Fesh Peoria this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday. If you want the full schedule, you can go to aaronfeshpeoria.com. That's spelled E-R-I-N-F as in Frank, E-I-S as in Sam, Peoria.com. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and tonight at 7 o'clock on our FM 90.9 evening concert, it's the last of our four-part series, Edinburgh Festivals, Year of Creative Scotland. Pianist Leif Ove Andsnes is featured in works by Chopin and Liszt, and Les Vents Français plays Millot's quintet, The Fireplace of King René, or The Chimney, and bass baritone Luca Pizzaroni sings Schubert's An die Musik. It's the last of the Edinburgh Festival's Year of Creative Scotland tonight at 7 on our evening concert. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing 2013-2014 season featuring El Nora, the Guitar Festival, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Diavolo, Nathan and Julie Gunn and Friends, Joshua Redman Quartet, and more. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. We also have support from Sinfonia da Camera, introducing their 30th season with a gala celebration on Sunday, September 15th at 6 p.m. in the Krannert Center lobby. The evening will feature music, dancing, dinner, and a live auction. More information is available at the Sinfonia office, 244-4350. One of the local bands that will be playing at Aaron Fesh is one called The Shanties. In the recording I have, they have members Chris Golick, Chris Parkhurst, and John Parkhurst. They now have some additional members who are Ceason Griffith, if I'm saying the name right, and Christy Bach, also Scott Duffield. But this is from their CD, which is called Fear Not, and it's The Girl from Kerry Hill.
I love that little girl, girl from Kerry Hill. I know she's the one for me. She's a sight rarely seen, fit to be a queen, and she knows that I'm a seafaring man. She told me that her pa and grandpa both were sailors. They'd rather sail the sea than work the land. They sailed around the world and always stayed afloat. She said, girl, don't pick a man with a leaky boat. Danced me around the floor all night. Goodbye to my old flame. This girl is to blame. The girl from Kerry Hill is my true love. She
told me that her pa and grandpa both were sailors. Rather sail the sea than work the land. She sailed around the world and always stayed afloat. She said, girl, don't pick a man with a leaky boat. That will always be true. A man to give it to me, said for Pa and Grandpa used to do. I try to tell her she means everything to me, and I would always make it back across the deep blue sea.
Shanties out of Bloomington Normal from their CD from a while back called Fear Not, and we heard Girl from Kerry Hill. On Live and Local on FM 90.9, they will be at Aaron Fesch in Peoria. Let's see which day, looking through the schedule, which you can do also at AaronFeschPeoria.com. Saturday on the North Stage at 12 noon. On tomorrow's Live and Local, I'll be talking with members of three of the bands that will be at Aaron Fesch: the Biffos, who are from Arizona, the Kells, who are from Ohio, and Chicago Reel, who are from, well, take a wild guess at that one. And of course, they'll all be performing throughout the weekend, some of them more often than others. So that'll all be happening on tomorrow's Live and Local between 4 and 5. Somebody who was in our area, oh, it's been a little while, and then had a chat with me on this program, I guess a little while means almost 2 years ago, was Laura McKenzie, who is both a singer and flute player, plays the Scottish small pipes, border half-long pipes. I don't really know what those are exactly, whistle, concertina. And she's joined in this recording by Ross Sutter, who also sings, plays guitar and Balron. And this is from a CD of theirs, Eubanks and Brays, Songs and Music of Robert Burns. And we're going to hear one called Lady Marianne.
Lady Marianne looked o'er the castle wall. She saw three bonny boys playing at the ball. The youngest he was, the flower among them all.
My bonny lad is young, but he's growing. Father, oh father, now do you think it fit? We'll send him a year to the college yet. We'll sew a green ribbon around about his hat.
was its smell, and Bonnie was its hue. And the longer it blossomed, the sweeter it grew. For the lily in the bud will be bonnier yet.
Ross Sutter and Laura McKenzie. Music and text by Robert Burns here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Here are some of the other events you can see and hear live in our listening area besides the Irish Festival in Peoria this weekend. Ruby Vell and the Soulphonics are at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston tonight at 7:30. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield is presenting The Odd Couple, female version, it says here, 6:30 tonight through Saturday, and brunch time on Sunday. The Sugar Creek Cloggers are at Connie Link Amphitheater in Normal this evening at 6 o'clock. It's Donnie Heitler playing at Minnetti's Restaurant in Champaign this evening at 6 o'clock. He's a solo jazz pianist. Eric Lund and Jazz Friends Quintet are at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7. And Don't Ask play klezmer music at Bouvant's in Urbana at 7 o'clock this evening. It's Doty and Fraser playing at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. Lamont Parsons plays jazz at Bouvant's in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6. At the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield, it's the musical Gypsy tomorrow and Saturday at 8 with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Black Magic Johnson plays the blues at the Old Capitol Blues and Barbecue in Springfield tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's opening night at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign with live music, dance, comedy, and a world premiere performance of The Galloping Ghost, Red Grange Visits the Virginia. Virginia Theater, downtown Champaign, tomorrow night at 7:30, newly restored. The Clark Gibson Group will play at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. It's the Sangamon River Music Festival on Main Street in Mahomet tomorrow night from 5 until 11. Strings Attached play at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. And it's the Bement Country Opry Band with guest Janet Durham at the Bement Country Opry Building tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Blues Deacons are at Alto Vineyards in Champaign Saturday night at 7:30. It's the Old Fashions at It's All About Wine in Springfield Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Robert Cray and Cody at the Gateway Drugs, Robert Cray and Cody and the Gateway Drugs at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We have support from the Urbana Business Association presenting the Urbana Sweet Corn Festival this Friday, August 23rd and Saturday, August 24th in downtown Urbana with musical entertainment, family activities, and, of course, sweet corn. More information at urbanabusiness.com/events. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois.